Hello and welcome to a special midweek spoiler cast for The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to spoiling the outdoors, I guess. It's Spider-Man time.
Well, I mean, we went outdoors to go back indoors again, so we're still spoiling the indoors, unless you're at like a moonlight cinema kind of deal.
But which we weren't. That would have been very romantic, though.
But fuck that in the middle of winter.
That's true. Yeah, there's a reason they don't run that during winter.
Yeah.
Because unless you can cue up the rain to specifically only go off during rainy scenes in the movie, it's kind of ruining the whole effect.
It would still ruin that for me in the movie as well.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing we stayed inside to watch The Indoorsman's special spoiler cast post-release screening of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yay, it was totally a special screening that was totally not filled with other people that were randoms as a normally scheduled screening of that movie.
But thankfully, this time, when we went to the cinemas with the tickets we'd purchased, other shitheads did not sit in our seats, like with Wonder Woman.
Yeah. It wouldn't be so bad if one of us, which will remain nameless, has got a weird thing about sitting in the exact middle of the cinema, as if sitting a seat or two either way will drastically change the experience.
I'm sorry, but when I'm paying $13.50, $17, for cinema tickets, I want to have the perfect experience, so that's where I'm going to sit, the exact center.
Dude, I didn't say it was you. You just told everyone.
Well,
I was trying to keep it quiet. Keep it on the down low.
Were you really going to put yourself on blast? Let's be honest.
And maybe now I will, just to throw people off.
Well, good work. But yeah, everyone who goes to the cinema with you regularly knows to stand a pace back before sitting down to make sure I get the right seat, because I will sort of weave back and forth till I find it.
I literally just stop and wait and then ask you which... I literally ask you, like, am I this side or that side? I just wait.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way to go.
You're like a cat or a dog just circling around and around and around.
Yeah.
Until it finds that perfect spot that it's been circling on, that exact spot. You like that?
Before I can sit down, settle in, and start licking my ass. Yeah.
Exactly. It's at that point I pull out my phone and start browsing Facebook.
So, yes. Anyway, after we got through all that, we watched Spider-Man Homecoming, and it was very good.
It was a lot of fun. Also, if you're listening to this and you complain about spoilers, you're going to have to go away very, very
far really
away.
Brought this on yourself at this point, yeah. So come on.
It's literally called a spoiler cast, so...
Yeah.
With that...
It says it right there on the tin.
Yeah, with that, holy shit, this movie was fun. Real fun.
Yeah. I'm going to open by saying I think it's the best Spider-Man film so far.
Yeah, it's up there. Some of the stuff I've heard was better than Spider-Man 1, not as good as Spider-Man 2, but blows everything else out of the water. Which is fairly accurate. I enjoy this more than Spider-Man 2 because I hate Tobey Maguire with a passion. So him and his dumb face just ruin the Raimi Spider-Mans for me.
I don't mind Tobey Maguire. I don't like Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. He's a decent actor, but he's not a Spider-Man.
Yeah, he never sold it as Spider-Man for me.
No.
I'm
glad he bulked up for the role. That was cool because he was always kind of like a scrawny dude before that. But bulky is not the right look for Spider-Man.
No,
that's why it was
Tom Holland.
Such good casting when they went for Andrew Garfield, because he's tall and lanky. That's kind of Spidey-ish, but Tom Holland's a good middle ground.
Tom Holland is, he is Spider-Man now. That's just how it is. He is Spidey. A great bit of casting that was.
Yep, and as per Marvel tradition, even though it's not technically a Marvel film, the lead male protagonist did have his shirtless scene within about 6 seconds of the movie starting, so that's always... a win for their studio.
In a great awkward scene where he's shirtless, or he's basically in his underwear with his best mate in his bedroom as his aunt walks in.
Yep. Which, yeah, she does not make a big fuss about it. That was nice. But, yeah, this film, I kind of liked it because it covered something that none of the Spider-Man films have done so far, which is talking about him, not knowing how to do everything yet. He fucks up a lot.
He does fuck up a lot, but I guess we'll talk about this a bit later on when we get a bit more detail, but boy, Happy and Tony Stark could have stopped that fuck up from happening.
Yeah, there's definitely some adult oversight issues in this movie.
If you want to put it like that, being patronizing assholes is another way to put it as well, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the key things I really like from the movie was early on, you sort of see his daily routine, going through school, waiting for school to get out so he can go in Spider-Man. But the best part was right after he changes into his costume, which is a very laborious process for this kid, he does, they have like sort of a locked camera shot of him flying up over a building, doing some flips and bouncing off walls and stuff. And it was the best Spider-Man movement I've ever seen in a Spider-Man film.
Yeah, it was really good. And then was it that sequence where he then face plants on the rooftop?
Yeah, it was the end of that. He sort of is doing all very cool stuff, helping people in his friendly neighborhood. And then, yeah, just kind of face plants on top of a building because he misses a web line or something.
Yeah, it was very funny. Just like, face plants just slides along the rooftop and just kind of stops in defeat. Like a classic teenage defeat when you're just like,
Then sort of gets up and is like, I'm all right, I'm okay, I'm all good.
Mm. Tries to save it after he reaches that point where it's impossible to save.
Yeah, just overall, like, seeing him sort of more low-key was pretty cool. Also, it's a weird thing, but I really like that they had a moment where he stopped and was just, like, eating with his mask pulled up a little bit, which is kind of a thing he does a lot in the comics.
It also reminded me a lot of Deadpool as well. You see a lot of Deadpool on the couch with it up onto his nose and, like, eating peanuts and stuff, and the classic peanut dialogue or monologue he does. But, yeah, it's a very... It's a very Spidey and Deadpool thing.
Yeah. It was just sort of low-key. Spider-Man still gets to have his big action moments, but in between, you get to see all the kind of failings. Like, he's a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, but he's not a friendly suburban Spider-Man.
No. There's lots of great moments here where he's out of New York, and Spider-Man has long been that hero that it would only work in New York.
Yeah.
It couldn't work anywhere else, and you get to see that.
Yeah, sort of coming across, say, like a big open park and just sort of shooting a web off into the distance and having it fall flat.
Drops into a golf course, yeah, and then shoots, and it's just like, oh, yeah, there's just like sky is all you can see in front of him.
Yeah.
And the next thing you see is him, like, running hilariously across the golf course.
Trying to avoid sprinklers, no less.
Mm.
Alongside that, you've got, the sort of nods to all the Marvel Universe stuff kind of dropped in there just to sort of frame it properly. Like, we get a... sort of an intro scene that's set right after the Battle of New York with Adrian Toomes and his crew sort of hacking down Chitauri bits.
Sets up the Vulture and his crew, whatever they called themselves.
I don't know if they had a name. Did they have a name?
I don't think they did, no. It was just kind of his crew.
Yeah. So you sort of had them all working, like repurposing the stuff, which I think the guy who was building all the weapons was the Tinkerer.
Yes,
I didn't catch his name, but I'm pretty sure it was him, yeah.
That guy was the actor that plays Piper's brother in Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really like that guy. I really like him. I think he's great.
Yeah, he's got good comedy chops.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He plays it so, like, kind of deadpan. It's good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed kind of the Vulture's escalation. The original Shocker, with his sort of vibro gauntlets, is sort of talking smack to him. So he shoots him with an experimental weapon, which atomizes him, and sort of turns around to the Tinker, is like, I thought that was the anti-grav gun.
Also, I remember, I think it was only a couple of minutes before that, you just leant over to me and said, oh yeah, it's the Shocker, and then he immediately gets killed.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
I did enjoy, like, the very subtle costume, though. He sort of got, like, the padded sleeves, like, in yellow to help with the feedback of this kind of blast gauntlet thing, but then also has, like, a red vest over the top of it, very, very sort of Shocker light.
What Marvel has been very good at is making characters look like the characters, but making them look like them inside the MCU.
Yeah, kind of practicalizing the costumes to an extent. I mean, you've definitely got some exceptions, like the original Cap suit and Daredevil's costume, which is not very practical looking.
Well, the original the original Captain America was great because it was such a, like, a cheesy, like, shitty suit, and they
so primary colors. Yeah,
yeah, and that plays perfectly into how they actually made that movie, and they when I saw the trailer for it, I thought, oh, it's going to be just, you know, American. Pride bullshit,
but America, fuck yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, but not as funny. And then it came out, and you're like, it's actually good because they just poke fun at it, immediately get past that, before they get into the really interesting Cap stuff. So, yeah, that was good, but yeah, like everyone looked great in this movie, especially Vulture Mark II. Oh, did he look good?
I mean, let's be honest. Like, the Vulture traditionally has been, like, the shittiest member of the Sinister Six. Because he's just an old dude in, like, a spandex bodysuit with wings. But this was a way to make him actually intimidating, which I really appreciated. Especially the fact that he was wearing, like, the bomber jacket with the fur lining to sort of give him the impression of the weird vulture collar he used to have.
And it also kind of makes him look like he's a, like an old school, like fighter pilot kind of thing. Like, yeah. He's got that fighter pilot look
the,
about
the
him.
The ripaway sort of oxygen mask and all that.
Yeah. He looked, that wingsuit, shit, that looked good.
Yeah. Like his best badass moment, I think, was with the 1.0 suit earlier in the film, during the, ferry fight. Where Spidey sort of webs him on the wing and he just gets the blades going and chops it.
Come on,
you built that purely so you could have a badass moment, didn't you, buddy?
Yeah. Well, the Tinkerer built that so you could have a badass moment. But yeah, it was he was very, very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, there was lots of like little references. I mean, you had Captain America doing all the sort of educational videos.
Which were hilarious.
I love the idea that right after the Battle of New York, like, the government's just like, okay, we're setting up damage control. Also, Cap, we need you to record, like, a bunch of after-school specials, please.
Yeah, it was super cheesy, but super great. Well, what they did do was capture the absurdity of high school, I think.
Yeah.
Because high school is so dumb. So very, very dumb. The best advice you can ever give a kid is, don't worry, high school is stupid. It will be over, and then life will start.
And then you'll forget about it forever.
Yep.
But, yeah, so, like, yeah, the little Cap videos, there was just a bunch of, like, little stuff dropped in. I mean, obviously, Iron Man is a presence throughout the film, and you've got an Avengers Tower that's sitting there. But even a lot of sort of smaller Spider-Man universe references. I mean, you had, firstly, his best friend is Ned Leeds. He should have been Genki, because he looks like Genki, and the actor should be Genki. But he's Ned Leeds, who I knew the name, but it's because he's actually one of the original Hobgoblins in the comics.
Really?
Yeah. Can't imagine that kid playing Hobgoblin. I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, I guess we might see.
But yeah, like in the current run of comics, he was the Hobgoblin and then he reformed and now he works for Parker Industries, along with Harry Osborn, who's kind of reformed and changed his name. But yeah, so Ned, his best friend, would maybe become the Hobgoblin. The leader of, like, the student TV show is Betty Brant, a.k.a., like, J. Jonah Jameson's secretary.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that one.
But not with, like, the black bob she typically has.
Yep.
Although
those little news reports were great. They were so shit.
Yeah, so shitty. I love the first one where they sort of have the little joke that someone's obviously written for them is like, hey, do you want to go to the homecoming dance with me? No, I already have a date. Okay. And then just sort of do an awkward zoom in on the black kid's face.
Yeah. It was, they were so shit. They were great.
So yeah, you had all that. One of the Vulture's crew was obviously the Shocker, Herman Schultz, and Mac Gargan, who is the Scorpion, who very on the nose has a scorpion tattoo on his neck, just in case you didn't get the reference.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it kind of plays into that, what they were going for, the aesthetic of the character. I mean, who, a gangster like that, who wouldn't have a tattoo like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it was good, yeah.
It's just nice that they had it on the left side of his neck, and he always had the left side of his face to camera whenever possible.
Well, that's his good side. It just happens to be, you know, what a coincidence that he was always framed on that side.
That's true. The one kind of notable Spider-Man reference that I didn't see in the film at all was any sort of mention or visual of Oscorp Tower.
Yes, yeah, which is very interesting. Either Marvel have just gone, no, it's been done a billion times before.
Yeah.
Or that is going to come later, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been fine with even just like a passing sort of scenery shot of it. I mean, I did notice in the credits, they had a shot where Spidey had sort of, in the cartoony credit style, done like a web line between Stark Tower and another really tall building. I think that should have probably been Oscorp Tower, but it didn't have the big O on it or anything, so I don't know. The other reference that was in there is one that you caught and I didn't, even though I really should have, because I'm the most passionate about this particular topic. Cliff, would you like to school me?
So it turns out Mr. Donglover himself, the Childish Gambino, plays Miles Morales' uncle.
He does.
And while they don't say it directly, he mentions his character, which I can't remember the name of, but
Aaron Davis.
There you go. He mentions that he has a nephew in New York somewhere, Queens, probably.
Queens, yeah.
And so he doesn't want these crazy fancy guns on the street either. Way back when they first cast Donald Glover in this, I thought immediately that, well, he's too old to play Miles Morales himself. So he could totally be a family member, father, uncle, that kind of stuff. And then I think it was only a few weeks ago that it was actually confirmed that Miles Morales is in the MCU. As soon as I saw him and he mentioned the nephew, I was like, there you go. That's his uncle.
Yeah, it was a really nice, like, sly reference. Also, Donald Glover plays, like a smoked-out criminal super well.
He was brilliant in it. He's a little part in the movie.
Yeah, but, I love Miles Morales. He's my favorite Spider-Man. But I know that if Spidey Peter Parker is, like, 15 in this film, Miles is at least sort of 4 years younger than him, so if he is going to be Spidey one day, it's going to be a while before we see it.
Yeah, admittedly, they could do a bit of time dilation and change his age to be only a couple of years younger, or even they could do the same age. There's nothing really stopping that from happening.
That's true.
Also,
Aaron Davis in the Marvel Ultimate Universe, where Miles Morales originally started, was the Prowler. There's another Prowler in the main Marvel comic universe, but he's a different guy, I'm pretty sure. He might have the same name. So, right. Yeah, it's nice that they're blending sort of Ultimate Universe elements in there along with everything else.
Yeah.
And of course, the last reference is one that was very obviously dropped at the end of the film. Kind of the weird friend of Peter and Ned, Michelle, who's just kind of awkwardly hanging out and being a weird kid the whole time,
calling them nerds, sticking your finger up at them.
Yeah, she's delightful. Zendaya, who's like a young musician, I believe. Zendaya?
No idea.
I think
she's a Disney girl, isn't she?
Maybe. I thought she was like an R&B rapist.
I have no idea.
Anyway, she plays this very sort of low-key character. She's just sort of around. And I didn't pick up on who it was until at the very end she tells them that now that they're friends, all of her friends call her MJ.
So there you go. No Mary Jane, but we've got Michelle MJ instead.
Michelle Jane. I really liked it. Also, the fact that right before the scene where this goes off, they sort of set an establishing shot in the school where in the distance in the hallway you see a kid in a tiger costume run past, which is a very MJ thing. Face it, tiger, you just hit the jackpot. So I look forward to seeing where that goes. I kind of thought she would be Cindy Moon, who was kind of another spider hero, Silk, who kind of got back introduced into the comics in the last year or two as kind of this quiet kid who was at Peter's school and got bitten by the same spider, but then kind of disappeared because of a whole Spider Slayer totems ridiculous storyline. And was locked in a bunker for 10 years until they could let her out to make her part of the Marvel Universe.
And then she became Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, that is how it worked.
Yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt is a spider hero.
Of course. Now, I thought the MJ moment was one of two moments where afterwards I thought, I feel kind of dumb for not seeing that. Because they do, even though she's a low-key character, they give her a lot of emphasis when she is in a scene. It's always cutting to her. She's always making some sort of smart aleck comment in that kind of sickeningly adorable kids, you know, beating each other up, teasing each other because they like each other kind of deal. That's what's totally going to happen here. And I thought, oh, yeah, this is... When that happened, I'm like, oh, that's nice. And it's so... When you look back in hindsight, it's so obvious. And that was the second time in the movie that I had that thought as well.
So what was the first one?
The first one is when you find out that the Vulture is actually Liz's father. I'm like, that's so fucking obvious. I can't believe I didn't see that.
That was an amazing reference. Oh, of course. And the love interest in the movie was Liz Allen, who goes on to become a fire-themed hero. I want to say Hotspot, but that's wrong. She turns out to be the Vulture's kid, which is a good surprise because it's great for the story, and also it's not how things work in the comics, so no one would have seen it coming.
Yeah, but when you look back at it, you're like, oh, of course, it could not have happened any other way.
Mm.
Which leads to one of the best scenes in the movie, and that is where Keaton and Holland are sitting in that car, and that icy cold conversation goes back and forth. Damn, that was good.
That was some quality work. Mm-hmm. Also, a kid's dad pulling a gun while sitting in his car out the front of the homecoming, and nobody walking past noticed? That's kind of...
Well, I mean, he's got those tinted windows, man. He's rich.
That's true. That's true. Another way that you wouldn't have picked Vulture being the dad is because he and Liz Allen are different races, though Liz is mixed race.
What? I didn't even notice.
I know, you don't see colour. You're a very evolved human being. But it is one of the things I really liked about the film. It was not a very white school. The kids were all different shades and colours and sizes, and I liked that. Because you also had Flash Thompson, played by a kid of, I think, Indian descent.
Who is super, super annoying, by the way.
Who's a super douchebag, but his car gets trashed in the end. Well, his mum's car. Flash becomes, like, Spidey's biggest fan and eventually Venom. So it's nice that, yeah, there's, like, even though the characters are white traditionally, they're not being whitewashed. And yet no one's complaining about it when it happens, as they usually do when it happens the other way around, which is lovely. I just like the, yeah, like, it's New York. Of course the kids are going to be everything. Like, there's plenty of stuff there. And even just little moments like Liz chatting to her best friends about who they think the hottest is, like, fuck, marry, kill with the Avengers.
Yeah.
You've got the two girls and then, like, the very clearly gay young man as well.
What was it that, was the girl that started it? She was it F. Thor?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, come on. If you're gonna kill Hulk. Yeah. If you're gonna,
good luck.
I mean, if you're gonna fucking Avenger, like, you gotta go with Thor, right?
I mean, fucking Thor sounds pretty good, though. I'm just saying.
Like, Thor is he's a sculpture.
He is a big beef boy.
He is.
And give it a couple of years in the Marvel universe, and he'll be a big beef lady.
Potentially, yeah.
I would love that. So I really enjoyed this film because it did a lot of stuff and it was just so funny.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff. I loved Ned. I thought he was kind of great. Just his constant questioning was such a, such a fun little thing. Just a little montage of him asking a whole bunch of really just pointless questions that you don't really care about, that no one really cares about. It's just the semantics of being a superhero. And he's just asking him all, like, super excited. The scene where you got to see in the trailer, where he discovers he's Spider-Man, that was great.
Yeah, just sort of doing the very well-shot kind of crawl into the room so his aunt doesn't see him coming, and then dropping the Death Star, which, another very nice Marvel Star Wars connection there.
Yeah, what I loved about Spider-Man as well, there's lots of him just kind of like, just hanging nonchalantly by his fingertips from ceilings.
Yeah.
And just, like, it's just natural for him. They didn't make a big deal about it, but it just looked great where he just, you know, like, both hands on the ceiling, then just one hand, and he'd kind of, like, hang off to the side, just, like, as if that's just normal life for him, which obviously is at this point. That stuff was very, very cool.
I did really like, there was one shot in the ATM fight with the fake Avengers, where they're sort of blasting him with the weapons, and they've got, like, the anti-grav gun, which had, a cool voice-distorting feature to it as well, which they didn't have in the trailers. He's getting blasted around by this thing, but all he has to do is put a couple fingertips down on the ground and he can, like, overcome that entire weapon because his adhesive powers are just that good.
Basically, yeah, the weapon's trying to pull him up and around and he's just holding onto the floor with his fingertips, which is great Spidey stuff. So the Spidey movement was pitch perfect, I thought, in the movie.
Yeah. Also, him setting himself up to look cool when they turn around and see him in that scene was fantastic.
They did a great job of making him a kid.
Yeah. He's trying to be the cool guy. Also, I really, really, really loved the eyes on the costume.
Yeah, the eyes were great, especially when they flip out and scare the girls. They're going, like, crazy.
Yeah. Just, like, the variety of it. Like, in Civil War, all they really did was sort of, like, focus down and expand out, which is good. But in here, they had, like, individual lenses, so he could look angry or, like, squinty-eyed.
They emoted more in this, because obviously he didn't have that much time. And most of the time, he was just wide-eyed with excitement in Civil War, because... You know, it's Captain America and shit. He got to actually emote a bunch with the eyes, which is great. Probably came about after seeing how well it worked in Deadpool as well.
Yeah.
Because the eyes in Deadpool were fantastic. And that's how they should be doing Batman's eyes. Batman should be the white eyes. No eyeballs. Don't want to see eyeballs on Batman. It's weird. It's creepy.
No, it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the Aslan costume because, like, Spider-Man, like, up to this point, like, the costume's never been emotive in any way. Like, it's all been sort of physical acting to make any kind of emotion come across. So, having, like, Tom Holland, who's a very good physical actor, along with these sort of very emotive eyes, even in his kind of shitty costume,
I loved his shitty costume. I thought that shitty costume was great. I actually quite like the eyes better on the shitty costume because it makes him look more like a kid, I think.
They were still very expressive and, you know, the whole costume had kind of the Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider kind of feel to it, which is a nice touch. But yeah, like just both costumes really good. All the web combinations, pretty fun, but I'd be kind of okay with them not having all of them all the time because it makes him too kind of ambidextrous.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We're going a bit long here already, so maybe we should quick fire some stuff and have some quick fire reactions.
Yeah, sure. Hit me.
All right. Iron Spider.
Yes, I was just about to talk about that. I really like the costume. It kind of looks like the one from the new PS4 Spider-Man game. I'm glad he turned it down, though, because it's a bit too shiny.
It is very shiny. It was very cool that he turned it down. Yeah, I liked that he turned it down, thinking it was a test.
Kind of reminded me of the armored sort of Spider-Man suit he's got at the moment in the comics as well, where it's a bit more metallic.
Yeah. But it looks like a grown-up Spider-Man suit, not a kid Spider-Man suit.
It looks like an Avengers 4 Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, exactly. Like when shit's really hitting the fan, you need the best. You can't just have your good suit. So I thought that was great. You got anything else? I've got a bunch, so maybe we go back and forth.
Karen, the AI in the suit.
Oh, yeah. Suit lady. I feel bad for calling you suit lady. Do you have a name?
It's Jennifer Connelly.
Connelly.
She really liked... I really liked her. Kind of, like, felt like she was a little bit in love with Peter as well, which is kind of cute.
Yeah, I did like the stuff, like, oh, is that Liz? Kiss her. That stuff was funny. Yeah.
It's, like, hyper-competent in all this stuff, except for love.
Yeah, that just melts and turns into a puddle when it comes to, that stuff. So that was quite funny.
Oh, Karen.
So, quickly, this whole movie, him getting his suit taken away, would have been so much different if... Happy and Tony Stark just didn't treat him like a 2-year-old. And if they actually said, if Tony Stark just said, cool, I'll have a look into it, and then a quick word later on saying, don't worry, the FBI are onto him, would have fucking stopped Peter from doing all the dumb shit that then Tony like blasts him for. So Tony should take some responsibility. Tony had yet another failure in the MCU by treating the super smart and competent kid like a kid instead of actually training him properly and allowing him to use his abilities.
Yeah, and Happy should really listen to him a bit more often or maybe answer his texts. This is why you had the Marvel Universe taken away from you, Kevin Feige. It's because you are bad at Happy.
You mean Jon Favreau?
Whatever.
No, Feige's the good guy. He's the one that made the MCU.
Okay, fine.
Favreau kicked it off. But, you know, Favreau's good. But yes, Happy could have actually paid some attention to Peter. They probably should have actually had someone like retired Hawkeye looking after Peter. That probably would have been a much better idea than just putting off onto Happy. That was quite good.
Hawkeye's in jail at the moment, though, so...
But is he really? We all saw the end of Civil War. Cap busts him out.
I don't really have anything else that I can think of. We've covered off most of the stuff I want to talk about.
What else do I have on here? Okay, a big... change in the MCU centered around Iron Man. He's now engaged to Pepper,
or he's about to be.
They had split up, but not now.
Yeah, they kind of been on. They were split up during Civil War.
Yeah,
but I guess after he got punched by Captain America bunch, he was like, "Okay, I like you again."
I guess. Yeah. That was it's a bit of an odd kind of moment, I thought. Just came out of nowhere. Did not expect to see her in that movie. She also got very high billing on that movie too, if you noticed in the credits.
Yeah, she kind of did. Yeah. Also the fact that they went to the Avengers compound and didn't see anyone else, kind of a bum.
I would have thought that Black Widow would have been there.
At least.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, give us like a passing flash of someone who could be an Avenger that hadn't been revealed yet. Give me a Ms. Marvel or something.
I do like that they mentioned his room was next to Vision's. And Vision's not big on doors.
He's not big on walls.
Or walls. Yeah. that was good. Even having Vision and Peter together, I think, would be an interesting combo. That young and good, rash, yeah. And I guess young is a way but to describe him, but reserved, like super yeah. wise and yeah, logical and stuff. That'd be an interesting combo as well. But yeah, it was fun. That's pretty much all I had for the.
Okay, the I do stuff. Have one other actually on that note. Mm-hmm. I felt like Peter Parker wasn't science-y enough in this, because one of the first things he said to Cap in Civil War was about how his shield doesn't obey the laws of physics, and that was his main focus in that fight. But it felt like he could have been more science-y in this. I mean, yeah, he was mixing web fluid and stuff. Also loved the fact that he lifted up an entire bank of lockers to multiple reveal his times, hidden spot. Yep.
Yeah, that was funny.
But yeah, I felt like he could have been more science-y. Like, even looking into just, like, the physics or, like, thinking that the Vulture suit was cool on top of being scary as shit.
Yeah, but I think one thing they could have dropped real quick is just Ned in that little montage going, like, how do you even, like, walk on the roof? And he could have just gone, like, oh, yeah. You know, I've got, like, the things, like, my fingers got, like, weird grippy things on them, and that hold, like, the surface tension and stuff holds me in place and stuff. Just a quick little throwaway like that could have increased yeah. stuff like that. But, I mean, yeah, they had to, you know, there's so much they could have put in. He is also, the sciencey side of him is kind of hindered a little bit by him having his suit given to him by Stark, like, kind of all made.
Yeah.
Which is one of the bigger criticisms I've had of the MCU Spider-Man, or I've heard of the MCU Spider-Man. I'm kind of okay with it, because it does play into the characters in the MCU. Like, Stark wouldn't just not do it. He's compulsive like that.
Yeah. So that's why he put, like, a million different modes in that thing, including, like, instant kill mode.
Yeah.
Which I love the eyes for that.
Yeah, it goes tiny and red. And
I feel like there's been a Spidey suit that looked like that as well.
The training wheels, and there was the other one as well, wasn't there? There was the
baby monitor.
The baby monitor, yeah. So that was all pretty good. But yeah, like, so you got to see him trying out a new web thing in class, and then it kind of going bubbling over and going wrong, and having to close the drawer real quick. So you got to see a bit of that, and him kind of making, like, his web capsules. While Ned's asking him questions, and he's just sitting there, like, pressing the thing and putting it in, then flicking it in and testing it out and stuff. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. And I mean, all this stuff, very good start. And I mean, they've already got a sequel, so we've got that to look forward to. Although I did see a piece of news saying that Avengers 4 will be the end of a 22 movie arc.
Yep.
And Homecoming 2 will sort of pick up where they left off as the new phase. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and I guess we'll see how it goes with Spider-Man in the future, considering that Sony has it. I assume that there's probably more to the deal than the public knows about.
Probably, yeah.
I almost think that it might be that they have some sort of Spidey sharing deal, where they might have their own Spideys in their own universe, but we might get a Miles Morales and a Parker.
That would actually be an interesting way to split it, yeah, between the two Spideys. I mean, there is an animated movie focused on Miles Morales coming up, so I think he might even be voiced by Donald Glover in that.
I think he is,
I might just be dreaming that.
I think he is.
But I hope so.
So, yeah, we'll see. As long as Amy Pascal and Sony keep their shit out of Spider-Man, we're going to keep getting good Spider-Man.
Well, the post-credits scene did pretty explicitly hint at the Sinister Six stuff.
Oh, yeah. That scene I thought was really, really cool as well. Just real quick, that Keaton kind of just played dumb. Also, was keeping that close to his chest, whether it's for his own personal revenge or whether it's a...
Honor Among Thieves thing?
Yeah, like kind of a weird, like, respect thing that the kid stood up to him.
You saved me, you saved my kid, you could have killed me or let me die, but you
That's
didn't.
Right, yeah. So it might be that sort of, like, weird... Like, I still want to see you go down, but if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be me, kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, yes. Spider-Man, good.
It was very, very good, yep.
There was no gothic, like, jazz dancing, though, which was kind of a letdown.
There was also no punching Mary Jane in the face.
Oh, I love that moment. I think I probably told you about this, but when I went to see Spider-Man 3 in cinemas, at the moment where that happened, firstly, as soon as he came out with his, like, emo hair, everyone in cinema laughed. But in the moment that he accidentally slapped Mary Jane, someone at the far side of the cinema just accidentally went, ha! And then the entire cinema laughed, which ruined the entire mood of that scene perfectly.
But it's such a stupid sequence that...
It is.
But it's funny because it's not funny. Yeah, I don't know. Spider-Man 3 is not good. Sandman was good.
Yeah.
Cut Venom out of that movie, and you have a solid Spider-Man movie.
Yes. Yes. So, we've got at least two movies before Tom Holland completely goes off the rails. So, I'm going to enjoy that in the meantime.
Yay.
So, for this midweek spoiler cast, I've been Matt.
I've been Cliff.
And we will see you next week for our next episode.
P.S. They use the original Spider-Man TV show theme at the very start of the movie, and it's great.
Oh, fuck, it was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. Also,
super punky credits. I loved them.
Yeah, it was great. Goodbye.
Spidey. Overhead, hey there, there goes a Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, wealth and fame, he's ignored, action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang, wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.